Dr. Michael Youssef, congratulations on 75 years of a life well lived.
I am so excited to wish you a happy 75th birthday, 75 and going stronger than ever before.
75? Oh my, that's old. I was 88 last week, so now remember, I'm your senior. Love you, God bless you, you mean the world to me.
We wish you absolutely the best for your birthday, and we pray for you as we know that the Lord has much in store for you in the years to come.
A very happy 75th birthday to my older brother. You're only just. I hope you and Elizabeth have a lovely time with your family celebrating this.
75 years? You are looking good. Keep on keeping on.
I want to wish a very happy 75th birthday to one of the most extraordinary Christian leaders in our world today, Michael Youssef.
It's one thing to do it all, but it's another thing, when it's all done, to stand. And by the grace of God, Michael is standing firmly, faithfully at 75.
Your love has given me great hope and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the saints. Happy birthday, pal.
Please turn to Luke 17, beginning at verse 11, as we bring this whole series of enduring wisdom to an end. Most people become great prayer warriors. They cling to Jesus when they're desperate for Jesus to answer their prayers. That is a fact. I've seen it all over the world, not just in one place. But often, when the need is met, not all, but the majority, seldom pray a prayer of thanks with that same intensity by which they were petitioning Jesus. Luke 17, you see that one out of the 10, you can do that motion with me, one out of the 10, who were supernaturally, miraculously healed by Jesus, actually came back to thank Jesus. Not just to give him kind of a lip service or a tepid thank you, but this man was just as enthusiastic and just as intense in his thanksgiving as he was when he was begging Jesus for healing. Look at the scripture with me, please. A group of 10 melancholy lepers met Jesus at the border between Samaria and Galilee. I'm going to tell you why the border. This is very important. Luke, being meticulous with the details, he had to give us that little detail. Because by law, the lepers had to live outside the border of the city. By law, lepers have to live in no man's land. These 10 were mixtures of Samaritans and Jews. We don't know exact percentage. Normally, the Jews and the Samaritans have no dealing with each other. You remember from John chapter 4, where Jesus was talking to the Samaritan woman, she reminded him, the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. But misery drew the two groups together, the two historic enemies together. In Leviticus 13, the Bible tells us that the diagnosis of leprosy is left to the priest. And the first time any sign of leprosy on the skin, the person goes to the priest and the priest gives him 7 days of isolation to see if this is just a passing case or not. And after 7 days, he examines him again, and if 7 days later still there, then he declares him a leper and declared that by the priest. At that point, he was taken away into isolation. They have to be outside of society, the outside of the city wall, outside of the community. They have to be isolated. The only person who's allowed to be near a leper is another leper. A leper's life was like hell on earth. It really is. We cannot even comprehend that. Because in the Old Testament, leprosy was a type of sin. Do you know what I mean by type? Exactly, that has nothing to do with sin, but it's a type of sin. Just like we say that in the Bible, Pharaoh is a type of Satan. He's not Satan, but he's a type of Satan. And the idea is the community has to stay pure. The community of God, the people of God, have to stay away from being contaminated. And so the Samaritans shoved the lepers outside the border, and so did the Jews from Galilee. So they ended up on the border between those two regions. That is why Jesus, and only Jesus, could touch a leper. Why? Because he is the only sin bearer who can touch a sinner without being a sinner himself. Because he's the only one who could touch a sinner without being contaminated with sin. Because he's the only perfect, sinless God-man who takes away our sin. And so these 10 stood at distance and they yelled out, "Jesus, have mercy on us." Probably somebody told them, "Hey, guys, Jesus is going to bypass this area. Nobody ever comes near us. Nobody comes in this border town. But here he is coming by." And so they knew right away that only Jesus could heal them. So they began to yell, "Jesus, have mercy on us." You see, only Jesus understood their desperation. Only Jesus understood their predicament. Only Jesus understood their feeling of rejection. Only Jesus understood their desperate need and their deepest longing. Only Jesus understood the crushed spirits on the inside of them. Only Jesus understood their painful loneliness. Only Jesus understood that lonely isolation. Only Jesus have understood their inner pain. Look at the text with me, please. This is the amazing thing. Jesus doesn't even tell them you're healed. You know, many times he'll touch people and they were healed. But he doesn't even tell them that. You just notice that in that text. He didn't tell them, "Hey, you're supernaturally, miraculously been healed." No. You know what he said to them? "Just go yourselves, show yourselves to the priests so you can get a certification of cleansing." Think about this with me, okay? Think about it. The people who were looked upon as the worst of the worst, now they can enter back into society. Now they can get jobs. Now they can talk to people. Now they can even marry and have children. Are you with me? And that's what Jesus did for them. Beyond the physical healing, that's what he did for them. It was more than just healing a disease or a condition. He restored their earthly life. He made the life possible again. But here's the tragedy. Here's the tragedy. Are you ready for it? Only one of the 10 came back. These 9 took their healing for granted. These 9, they took the gift and dumped the giver. These 9 thought that it was naming it and claiming it, grabbing it and blabbing it and grabbing it is what healed them. Nothing has changed. People always give themselves the credit for their positive attitude, for a positive mental attitude that really accomplished things. Only one came back to Jesus with deep, deep, deep sense of gratitude and thankfulness. As I said, Dr. Luke is so meticulous with details that he made sure that we knew that this one was a Samaritan. He made sure that we understood that. I want you to notice there are two separate acts in verses 15 and 16. You can see them in the scripture. Two separate acts. Verse 15, he praised God in a loud voice. Verse 16, that wasn't enough. He falls on his face before Jesus in thanksgiving. Now, I want to give you three lessons from this incident, okay? Three lessons. First lesson I want to tell you is this. Many are the requests, few are the thanks. Secondly, many are the professed, few are the gratitudes. And thirdly, the greatest blessing is in thanksgiving. And the greater your thanks, the greater your blessing. I want to show you these very, very quickly. Many are the requests, few are the thanks. These people did not care to thank Jesus in any shape or form. They didn't even mumble the words. They just never showed up. When they needed Jesus to heal them, they yelled out in a loud voice, "Jesus, have mercy." When they wanted a miracle, when they were desperate, when they were in trouble, when they were in need, they yelled it out. Many of the requests, few are the thanks. Secondly, many of the profess, few are the true grateful. We're not told if the other nine did not believe in Jesus. We don't know that, okay? We are not told if the other nine did not profess to be Christians. We don't know that. But we know they have must believed in Jesus' words because they did head up straight to the priests. At time of their need, they would profess anything. And the time of their need, they would do anything. And time of their need, they would accept anything that's going to help them. And yet, when the desperation was met, it was never translated into tangible thankfulness. It was never translated into practical gratitude. It was never translated into a tangible expression of thanksgiving. Listen, there's so many people who wrestle with God like Jacob, so many who would intercede like Elijah, so many who would plead with God like Jeremiah, but very few come back to the Lord with the same intensity as this ex-leper Samaritan. I pray, God, that would never be said of me.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of Dr. Youssef's message in just a moment.
As fewer Christians read the Bible daily, fewer understand what a marvelous revelation it is from God to man. Now, more than ever before, is the time that our world needs to understand what Scripture actually has to say. In How to Read the Bible as If Your Life Depends on It, Dr. Michael Youssef offers us a fresh appreciation of the Bible. Trained as an anthropologist and armed with over 50 years of experience studying and teaching the Word, Dr. Youssef is uniquely equipped to show us how to understand the full scope of the Bible. Discover the incredible unity of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, 66 books that all tell one grand story. For a limited time, for your gift of any amount, Leading the Way will send you your own copy of How to Read the Bible as If Your Life Depends on It. Reclaim the wonder and awe of God's Word. Pre-order your copy of How to Read the Bible as If Your Life Depends on It for a gift of any amount today.
And now the conclusion of Dr. Yusuf's message, Enduring Wisdom, Lessons in Thanksgiving.
Many other requests, few other thanks. Many other professing, few other too grateful. Thirdly, this is really important. The greater the thanksgiving, the greater the blessing. See, the blessing is not just in petitioning and receiving answer. Far greater blessing, that untold blessing that comes from the very attitude of gratitude, that comes from the heart of thanksgiving. And I'm not talking about just on occasions or in public. I'm talking about daily, just like your heartbeat. I want you to notice a few things about this Samaritan. First of all, his determination. I mean, this man was determined. He was determined. And he returned to Jesus alone. Do you understand that? Alone. He was a Samaritan. The others were Jews. But that did not matter to him. He could have said to himself, you know what, I need to do, I don't like to go back to Jesus alone. If his fellow Jews didn't go, why would he could have said to himself, you know what, I'll wait until they go and I go with them. But he didn't. Why? Because his attitude of gratitude delighted in singing the song of thanksgiving alone. Beloved, listen to me. This is my testimony. I cannot measure my thankfulness by others. And I plead with you to do the same. Even if they appear to be more spiritual, even if they seem to be more versed in the scripture than you are, even if they appear to be more visibly involved in church activities than you are, even if they seem project maturity than others. Some of you remember me telling you on several occasions, I already told you, that the man who discipled me in my very early walk with Jesus was an illiterate man. I have never forgotten and never will forget those lessons. He instilled in me something like this: Michael, if you ever want to stumble in your Christian walk, keep your eyes on church leaders. Keep your eyes on church leaders. I'll never forget. And he said, you know what? The bigger they are, the worse you stumble. And he doesn't mean being fat. Big. Big names. He said, always keep your eyes on Jesus. He will never, never, never cause you to stumble. This ex-leper was determined, but he also was prompt. He was prompt. He came back to Jesus immediately. He did not wait a tour or a week or two or a month or two. Beloved, don't put off your tangible thankfulness. Don't put it off. Don't wait for an opportune time. It may never come. He was determined. He was prompt, but he also was intense. He was not satisfied with a tepid thank you. He was not satisfied with a cold handshake and saying thank you. He returned in a loud voice, equal in loudness to the voice by which he petitioned Jesus to heal him. Listen, he was not showing off. You gotta understand, I'm gonna explain to you why. He's not showing off. He was not trying to draw attention to himself. And I'll tell you why. Most likely, he didn't even understand these kind of subtleties that we have normally, didn't understand these things. Because we, in a cynical culture, we can say things like that. But this man was isolated just most of his life, so he really wasn't even thinking those kinds of thoughts. But he expressed his thanksgiving with the same intensity by which he asked. This ex-leper was determined. He was prompt. He was intense. And he was humble. I met some Christians who will let you know how proud they are of their humility, and they want you to know all about it. This man fell at Jesus' feet as if to say, Jesus, without your love, Jesus, without your grace, Jesus, without your healing, Jesus, without your mercy, I'm nothing. Verse 18. You see, Jesus expresses a real disappointment. A real disappointment. Here's the one thing a lot of people don't understand, even church people. See, Jesus is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. I used to know somebody many years ago who said, it's a force. No, he's a person. And it's referred to as he in the Bible, in the masculine. And that is why the Bible said, he grieves. That our deliberate disobedience grieves him. I know if I'm convicted, I said something I shouldn't have said, I immediately stop. I said, Holy Spirit, I'm so sorry. I want to ungrieve you by my obedience. He's a person. My beloved friend, please listen carefully. Here's where this Samaritan, ex-leper, could have blown it. You say, Michael, what do you mean by that? He could have blown it. How? You know, Jesus, they're just not as grateful as I am. You know, Jesus, we Samaritans have really been misunderstood all these years. Lord, have mercy. He did nothing of the sort. He was not interested in pointing out to other people's weaknesses. Now, I want to conclude by pointing to the most important, the most stupendous, the most fantastic, the most indescribable, I don't know how many adjectives I couldn't find anymore in the dictionary, blessing that came from this thanksgiving, from the attitude of gratitude on the part of this Samaritan. Don't forget this. Verse 19. If you forget everything, please don't forget what I'm going to tell you, because this is really important. This is important. Verse 19. Look at it with me. This grateful man already received physical healing. But his coming back with effusive thank you ended up receiving a gift that is way beyond the physical healing. He received a unique, spiritual, eternal healing that the others did not get. You see, beyond the miracle and beyond the healing, beyond the material and earthly blessings, there is a blessing that is far, far, far more important. There is a blessing that is far, far, far more tangible. There is a blessing that lasts forever and ever. It is lasting and everlasting. All the 10 lepers physically healed, and yet only the thankful Samaritan received eternal salvation. Listen to what Jesus said to him. Rise, go your way, your faith had made you completely eternally healed. That's really literally what it means. Beloved, your continuous gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord is a blessing all its own. All its own. Your continuous gratitude and thankfulness can give you a blessing that cannot be valued by all of the wealth of the world.
As fewer Christians read the Bible daily, fewer understand what a marvelous revelation it is from God to man. It's so easy to forget, as we scurry around our day-to-day lives, what a profound gift Scripture is to us. 66 books weaving a tapestry of God's love for us. Words from heaven sitting right in our hands. As a culture, we've walked away from these time-tested truths, rejecting the wisdom found in its pages. Now, more than ever before, is the time that our world needs to understand what Scripture actually has to say. In How to Read the Bible as If Your Life Depends on It, Dr. Michael Youssef offers us a fresh appreciation of the Bible by teaching us how to read it for understanding, not just a collection of Sunday school stories. Trained as an anthropologist and armed with over 50 years of experience studying and teaching the Word, Dr. Youssef is uniquely equipped to show us how to understand the full scope of the Bible. Discover the incredible unity of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, 66 books that all tell one grand story of a kingdom and a covenant of one Lord who saves completely and eternally.
The Word of God itself is the only food that will nourish you spiritually.
How to Read the Bible is a simple, digestible, and captivating crash course on Scripture. Join Dr. Youssef on a journey through the Bible that will radically shift the way you approach God and His Word, whether you're a skeptic, new in your faith, or have been walking for Christ for decades. For a limited time, for your gift of any amount, Leading the Way will send you your own copy of How to Read the Bible as If Your Life Depends on It. By partnering with Leading the Way, you'll be helping others fall in love with the simple truth and beauty of God's Word as Dr. Youssef and Leading the Way spread the good news of Jesus to a world desperately in need. Reclaim the wonder and awe of God's Word. Pre-order your copy of How to Read the Bible as If Your Life Depends on It for a gift of any amount today. Check out Leading the Way's smartphone app. With the Leading the Way app, you can watch recent episodes of Leading the Way, listen to sermon series, as well as read special daily devotionals written by Dr. Youssef. You can even watch Leading the Way live events on your mobile device. Just search for Leading the Way on your Apple, Android, or Amazon Fire device to download the app today. Did you know you can join Dr. Youssef live as he shares the gospel all around the world? Through modern digital technology, Leading the Way offers live video streaming during global special events. From London to Sydney, from Middle Georgia to the Middle East, from New England to Ireland, Leading the Way brings you live events right to your fingertips. Learn more at ltw.org/live and join us weekly for Leading the Way live at Apostles, Sundays at 10:30 a.m. Eastern. Don't miss a moment. Passionately proclaiming uncompromising truth, Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef thanks you for your faithful support through your continued prayers and gifts.
Hi, I'm Jane Robolo, and I want to invite you to sit down with me as I talk one-on-one with Dr. Michael Youssef, and he shares his passion for God's Word with us. There's so many false things that are being said about the Bible these days, that it's not really relevant, that parts of it don't matter anymore, that that's an old book. Oh no, it is alive and living. It is God's gift to us. And Dr. Michael Youssef will pour that excitement into you. So sit down with us when we talk about the importance of God's Word.
Next week on Leading the Way.